This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Hi, folks. It's Friday afternoon, which means it's time for another edition of Let's Play DJ. This is the show where every week I have a different guest on to talk about music they like and listen to it for you to listen to while you drive home from your job. My guest today is a singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, a Juno Award-winning veteran of the North American folk scene. It's Kara Luft. Hey, Kara.
Hey, Jacob.
Let's Play DJ.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It is going. It's so beautiful out.
It is so beautiful out. Yeah, I'm riding an outdoor high.
Yes.
From just having seen the sun
for so long.
Yeah.
It's been an incredibly cloudy winter in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to always say to people, "Oh, come to Winnipeg because it's so sunny in the winter." And now I'm like, "Oh."
Yeah. It's not. Climate, and then we didn't even get that much snow. It wasn't even
no.
that. I didn't even get to ski. But we're here. We're here now, and it's spring.
We're here.
Thanks so much for making the time.
Well,
to come
thank
down.
You for reaching out. What a true gift.
Of course. We got lots to talk about, but maybe we'll just start with a song and go from there.
Do it.
I've got this list loaded up. This first song I've got queued up here is Black Waterside.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, I'm a big Zeppelin fan. When I started playing guitar, I think everybody who plays guitar discovers Led Zeppelin. So at the ripe age of 11. But my parents are folk singers. And so I grew up listening to a lot of folk, particularly British Isles folk and folk rock stuff. So listening to Led Zeppelin, there was a particular song that they did that was an instrumental called Black Mountainside. And I absolutely loved it. Still love it to this day. And of course, when did a deep dive into where that song came from.
Mm-hmm.
And the original, it's a traditional, but the original guitar part was composed by this wonderful Scottish guitarist named Bert Jansch, who is quite well known as being in a group with Pentangle, with John Renbourn, two of the world's finest fingerstyle guitar players.
Cool.
And so discovered Bert's version, which is this really wacky time signatures are all over the place, and he does it in a drop D tuning for all the guitar nerds out there. And Jimmy Page kind of simplified it and played it in dadgad and straightened it out timing wise. So I thought, when I tried to play this song, I try to morph the two versions together, but I always default to Bert's version as just kind of this ear candy song from a guitar playing perspective. It's just, it kind of blows my mind every time I listen to it. So
cool. I'm excited to hear it. Here it is.
One morning fair, I took the air down by Blackwater side. 'Twas in gazing off all around me, the Irish lad I spied. All through the far part of the night, we lay in sport and a play, till this young man arose and the gathered his clothes, saying farewell to Thank you. that's not the promise that you gave to me. When first you lay on my breast, you could make me believe with your lying tongue that the sun rose in the west. Then go home to your father's garden. On your own misfortune that you brought with your wants and will. One morning fair I took the air down by Blackwater side.
That was Blackwater Side by Bert Jansch, and you're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with Kara Luft. That's a great first song.
Yeah, fun. And I love our little dialogue when we were off air. Or not off air, but, you know,
behind.
Muted.
Yeah. So, yeah, right before we play that, you were sort of alluding to, you know, growing up in a musical family. I'm curious, is music just sort of always like the focal point of your life kind
yeah.
of thing?
Yeah, it has been. And I think it's partly what I was immersed in. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. My parents, they were smart musicians, meaning they got their master's degrees and had proper jobs.
Yeah.
This is actually, being a musician is a very proper job. It's just a very non-typical job.
Correct.
Non-mainstream job.
Doesn't come with a salary and
it
benefits.
It doesn't come with a regular salary or benefits. Yeah. But so growing up in a family where my parents played professionally and they hosted a lot of musicians in the house and started hosting house concerts. My dad says the first time they were asked to host a house concert was 1971. I was born in 74. And the reason they started hosting is an agent in Toronto was booking an artist. I grew up in Calgary. They were booking an artist at one of the clubs in Calgary, mm-hmm. and were given my parents' names as like a backup or as a would they have any other ideas. Mm-hmm. So the conversation apparently was like, hey, do you have other venue ideas? And my dad said, well, I don't know. And then the agent said, well, why don't you do a concert in your house, like a house concert? And my dad said, well, what's a house concert? And the agent said, I don't know, just make it up. So they had this big unfinished basement and they could fit about 100 people in to the basement and got folding chairs.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of this regular occurrence in the house was not just listening to music, but having live music in the home, and lots of artists from the States and Canada coming through. My mom comes from a long line of musicians. She toured as a teenager. I think she started touring when she was 11 with her sister. And they had these matching dresses and they played upright bass and guitar and swapped back and forth. And my grandfather, her dad, he was a choir director and a music teacher. But when he was a young adult, he toured in a jazz big band as a guitar player.
Wow.
And his father was a tenor singer in vaudeville shows and toured around. So it was this again, this history of music appreciation, but also performance.
Yeah.
And sharing music within the community setting.
And touring.
Yeah.
Because that's a big piece is like, there's almost like a disconnect sometimes, but you're like, you know, I like making music, I like writing music, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then when you tour it, it's an entirely different,
totally different thing.
Like it's, you know, the sacrifice, the labor is so different.
And the going into communities like that, I really think what is there saying out there that I've been seeing it more and more recently, where people are saying, well, I'm not great at music, but I think music is great. And so I want to be part of it.
Hmm.
And I think that's, I mean, that's very alive and well in Winnipeg. Yes. There's this huge sense of music as part of community, mm-hmm. and being part of multiple bands and people sharing stages and songwriting and recording each other and just playing music together. And then there's that on the local community level. And then as a touring artist, you get this beautiful gift of being able to drop into other people's yeah. communities. And that's something that you're missing when you just listen to an album mm-hmm. or when you record an album. Mm-hmm. That's one kind of form of music sharing and music making. And then to be able to take that into the live performance touring world and to share that with other local musicians. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this mind-boggling, beautiful, crazy thing.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, okay. We got lots.
We're gonna Woo-hoo, talk Jacob, lots. We're gonna be friends.
let's go to this next song that we got. Worker song.
Yeah, Dick Goggin.
Dick Goggin. Let's just play it. Here it is.
Toil night and day by hand and by brain to earn your pay who for centuries long past for no more than your bread have bled for your countries and counted your dead in the factories and mills in the shipyards and mines we've often been told to keep up with the times but our skills are not needed. They've streamlined the job and with slide rule and stopwatch are blind they have robbed aye. But when the sky darkens and the prospect is war, who's given a gun and then pushed to the fore and expected to die for the land of our birth, though we've never owned one handful of earth. Ones to starve, we're the first ones to die, we're the first ones in line for that pie in the sky, and we're always the last when the cream is shared out, for the worker is working when the fat cat's about, aye, and all of these things the worker has done, from tilling the fields to carrying the gun, we've been yoked to the plough since time first began. I always expected to carry the can.
That was Worker Song by Dick Goggin. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, coming to you live from downtown Winnipeg. I'm here with Kara Left.
Yay!
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful song.
Yes, let's!
Yeah.
Let's Play DJ. That's like, yes, let's!
So we talked about, so you've just been like surrounded by music your entire life.
Yeah.
And was songwriting also like a really early thing for you?
Yeah, I think that was just kind of my own thing, that if you're going to create something, you might as well write. If you're going to play something, you might as well also create and write something. And so I started writing songs really young. And my mom likes to remind me of some of the songs that I was writing when I was very long. Apparently, I did one about a woman who walked down the street. She had big, big smelly feet and, you know, funny things like that. But I really started taking it semi-seriously, I think, when I started playing guitar. So my dad showed me basic guitar chords and then alternative tunings, and then I would just kind of sit and write songs, and recorded like a little cassette of various songs that started making the rounds in like the little folk circuit when I was about 14 years old. And then just kept going from there. And some of the songs that I wrote when I was a teenager, I still actually have in my back pocket.
Nice.
I'm not too embarrassed about them.
That's impressive, frankly, because I cannot say the same.
There's a lot that I am embarrassed
for sure.
But there's some that I really, still really love.
And, yeah.
I think that writing and encouraging people to write, because I teach a lot at music camps for adults and for teenagers as well. And I find it's just such an empowering experience to be able to use the creative written form as a way to express what's going on, either in your internal world or external world or both.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So, I mean, you've been writing songs for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, how big is the catalog that you're pulling from when you're playing a show?
Well, I'm not the most prolific songwriter.
Okay.
So that, I am not a Dan Frischette or, there are some artists that have, they've got a zillion songs that they've written. I am a little bit more selective, especially as I've aged. I tend to be more, less flexible maybe with when I approach songwriting, which is maybe to my detriment. But maybe just it's from years and years of experimenting that I start to kind of go, okay, now I'm ready to say something.
Right.
There's a writer who I really love, Lewis Melville. He's a great songwriter out of Guelph, Ontario. And I remember I used to always call him, and I still do often to this day, but I would often call him when I was younger and be like, Lewis, I'm not feeling it. He's like, don't stress about it. Like some people work like they write a song every day.
Yeah.
And some people, he's like, you have to let it percolate and let it kind of find its way. And when you're ready, it will come out.
Periods of collection versus periods of production.
But I also find, and you and I were just chatting a little bit about this, about co-writing, and I find that co-writing has been a really beautiful kind of opening up experience for me to see how different people approach writing. You were talking about the sound of syllables or certain words, the way they sound as you sing them, or a friend of mine, James Keelahan, great Canadian songwriter, he counts syllables in songs. And I've never done that before. So it was a really interesting writing experience with him to see how he approached it. I have a tendency of writing with kind of the odd time signature change. Mm-hmm. So a verse or a chorus or a line will be, if a song's in 4/4, I might throw in a 7/8 or a 3/4, and it kind of throws people off. But for me, it kind of suits the flow of the song and allows me to kind of go in a different direction. And same with playing on different instruments, writing on the band, Joe, I found to be very liberating as well, because I'd always written on guitar pretty much all my life until I started playing banjo, and I was kind of late 30s when I started playing banjo, so it's a relatively new instrument.
That gives me hope
for me.
You're very good at banjo. I just started
I'm a good banjo player. I fake it really well
regardless, whatever.
But I find writing on the banjo very different than writing on the guitar, and so it's allowed me to kind of open up my expressions a little bit more, and it's also given me a new appreciation for writing on the guitar, because I've been writing on banjo so long now that I'm coming back to it.
You have a solo career and also played in bands. Like, do you find writing for like a Kara Luft song versus writing for like a Waylon Jennings song or a Small Glory song, like do you approach it differently?
With a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
I think a good song is a good song.
Yeah.
And there are songs that, like with JD, I'll be like, oh, this song I can already hear. Like, I'll be writing it and I can hear the second part. And then there are songs that I've written that are like definitely more geared towards a solo performance. But I think a good song can take on a new life.
Yeah.
Given its iteration or what the format is that it's going to get played in. And I think that's the one thing that, especially, I mean, the Small Glories is my most recent project. What I really loved about working through songs, JD and I would approach things and kind of be like, well, this is a song I wrote, but I want the Small Glories stamp on it.
Yeah.
And having that that way of exploring how a song gets finished or shared with the world, and it'll show up differently depending on the iteration. So for right now, I'm doing these 50 for 50 shows, and I'm playing with a zillion other people. And so if I'm bringing a Kara Left song that I've always done solo, or I'm bringing a Small Glory song, or I'm bringing a Waylon Jennings song, it's been really beautiful to see how what other people are attracted to, not attracted, but what drives their interpretation of the song, whether it's the harmony or if there's an instrumentation. And I just love that songs can take on so many different interpretations depending on who you're playing with.
I mean, there's got to be a lot of trust and vulnerability there too.
Yeah,
to sort of hand your babies off.
And I've been trying to be like very deliberate in who I've tapped, right, if that makes sense. Yeah. To be like, I really want to play with this person, and this is why. I'm doing a show in England with this incredibly, I think he's one of the best banjo players in all of Europe, actually. And I'm a little bit nervous because he's such a good banjo player, and I am not of his caliber at all. But I think it'll just make for a really interesting show to see how he interprets the songs that I'm like, hey, this is the catalog. What are you attracted to? And
so is that the process, or do you pick the players and you just sort of send them lists of songs and they kind of pick out what speaks to them? Oh, that's so cool.
And then I always, like, some of the shows are a little bit more like co-bills, even though they're underneath the 50 for 50 umbrella.
Sure.
And so, like, I just did two big shows out on the coast with Sherry Ulrich, who is a really, like, this is her 50th year of playing music. Yeah. So it's this beautiful, like, wow, we're celebrating. This is just two events of major celebration. Mm-hmm. And so I've been asked, of course, with her, I was like, well, what songs of your catalog do you want me to learn? Mm-hmm. And we'll work up, you know, sharing songs with each other. And then, the guest artists, I'll be like, well, which song do you want me on? Or this is the song of yours that I really love. Are you open to doing that song? And the main thing is I just want everybody to feel comfortable.
Yeah, of course.
And I want to have it be joy.
Yeah.
So we messed up a lot, but it was a joyous mistakes.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Let's play another. We got this Tanis Slimmon.
Oh, Tanis, yes. Yeah.
Why can't you read my mind? Tell me about it.
Tanis is actually from Manitoba, from Oak Lake.
Oh, cool.
And she went to university here and then I think finished university in Guelph. She's partners with Lewis Melville, the fellow that I was chatting about. And Tanis is one of those artists that I think has not received the recognition that she deserves. I think she's got one of the best voices in the country. She's been doing this for a long time, but of course had a proper day job and kind of pursued music more as a passion project. And her older records are still some of my go-tos for road trips and for just listening to beautiful music. And this song features Andy Mays from... oh my God, what is his band? I have perimenopause brain, so sometimes band names go from my brain. I'll think of it. Andy May's great Toronto-based artist, and then Lewis is also singing on it. And I just really loved the production of the song, and I just love the way the vocal harmonies move around each other.
I'm excited to hear it. Here it is.
Sky Digger. We'll be right back.
it so hard. Why can't you read my mind?
Why can't you, Jacob? Just why can't you?
That was so good. You listen to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm here with Kara Luft. Having a grand old time.
Grand old time, man. Yeah,
this is great. I love that song.
Yeah. I mean, she's just this vocal singer that's like, oh my gosh. And then the arrangements, the vocal harmonies, the texture of the voices, mm-hmm. everything about it just makes me kind of go, ah,
yeah.
I'm running through a field of flowers.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about this, we've touched on it all lightly, but this 50 for 50.
This crazy idea that I had.
It is a little crazy.
It's super crazy. Oh my God. My manager's like, what, did you realize how much work this was going to be? I'm like, no, I'm such a great idea person. And then I'm like, oh crap, I've got to actually implement this.
Go do it. So how many shows deep are you into it?
I think 17.
Oh wow. Okay. And it's like a year long thing.
It's going to be, it's more than a year. Cause my birthday is the end of May and I started in February.
Okay.
So I'm going to go all the way until next May.
Wow.
That's nice. The plan. Cause there was like, there's no way I can do it just because the amount of prep it takes,
Of course.
A typical tour, you know, you try to do, you know, five shows in a row. I can't do that on this. Mm-hmm. I kind of need rehearsal time.
That was my next question.
And, so I'm always like, I was just out in BC and I technically did three shows. Mm-hmm. Although one of them was like a songwriter in the round thing. So I didn't have to really prep very much for that.
Yeah.
But I was gone for 8 days because you got to do some rehearsal and then you have debrief and I'm not complaining. It's wonderful. It's great. But now I'm prepping. I'm home for 2 weeks and I go to, I'm walking the Camino de Santiago for all of May.
Wow.
But it's going to actually take like 34 days. So I'm leaving at the end of April and I'm going to do one. My birthday is going to happen while I'm walking. So the plan is, Jacob, this is so crazy. The plan is that I will find an instrument in the town that I end up in on the day of my birthday, which I don't actually know what town that is yet.
Yeah.
And if I can't find an instrument, I'll just do it a cappella. But I will do an impromptu concert for whoever I'm having a meal with that day.
Nice.
But then I go to England for 4 weeks and I'm doing, I think I've got 10 or 11 solo/collaborative shows under my name. Mm-hmm. And then I've got another 6 with this wonderful banjo player, another banjo player who I know. We're doing, this sounds so wacky. I'm part of a tribute band that's celebrating the music of this banjo player who hardly anybody's ever heard of. But like, so I have to learn all of his songs and they've already been rehearsing in England. And I'm now, I have to spend the next few weeks like prepping myself before I go on this walk and then go back to England and start rehearsals. And like, it's insane. I'm insane, Jacob. I'm absolutely insane. But I'm also really excited because I haven't had flexibility to do or the freedom and the time to just do wacky projects for a really long time.
Yeah. And I mean, if I can say too, like, I don't know, like a lot of my friends are musicians. I've had lots of folks come through the studio. Like, I know what like burnout looks like. And like, you're not giving off burnout vibes at all.
I am not burnt out. I was burning out. Like, I think I'd hit burnout right before the pandemic hit. So I will confess that when it was lockdown, I was like secretly saying,
oh, I was the same. I was like,
to the universe, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was, I mean, it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
It's so weird. Yeah. I know. Because we were, the Small Glories, we were going really,
super
really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we went really hard. Yeah. And then you kind of have this sudden jolt. And I, whatever, the pandemic was hard on multiple levels for many reasons for many people. And then we hit the ground running for 2 years kind of nonstop
afterwards
because we were playing makeup.
Of course. And such a shock to the system.
It's a shock to the system. And so when the band went on hiatus, I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do this year? Oh, I know. So it's a little bit bonkers, but I'm not burnt out. I'm just, my brain is, my mental bandwidth is just, I have to learn. I've been diagnosed with ADHD, so I have to, which is actually a huge gift because now I'm learning that I'm actually not crazy and that I'm learning to compartmentalize and
totally,
I have to
totally.
Set aside my energy and my time and go, okay, now I can focus on this. So some of the shows that for these 50 for 50 have been beautiful chaos.
Mm-hmm.
and like out of control. We did the one in Vancouver. We had, it was Sherry and I, and then we had four guests: Barney Bentall, Dan Mangan, Neil Osborne, Susie Ungerleiter. And they're all like heavy hitters in their own right. And we didn't rehearse with any of them, except I think we ran a little bit with Barney ahead of time. And I had just done a big show with Neil the weekend before. So, but it was just like, okay, show up on stage. Where are we going to play? Here we go. And the audience, I kind of have this like, I really want things to be really tight and really beautiful. And nothing was tight. It was all loose. But it was beautiful at the same time. And we just kept saying to the audience, hey, this is musicians getting together for like a workshop stage at a festival.
And that was my next thing I was going to say. It's like, you must have, I'm sure you've done enough workshops in your career.
And this is exactly what it was. We were reminding the audience of that. And it turns out that the audiences loved being part of something that will never be replicated.
Ever again. So and there's a time and a place for like the rehearsed set with like, you know, the banter and the whole like the polished thing. But cool. That sounds, I mean, sounds great. Let's play another song. A lot of these artists that you've picked have hard to pronounce last names.
Oh yeah, tell me who's next.
We got Watching a Movie with Rob
Szabo.
Cool.
Yeah, now Rob is this phenomenal artist from Kitchener-Waterloo, lives in Toronto, and he was in a great rock band called Plasticine, and they used to tour through here, and I remember going to the Albert when they were playing, and it blew my mind, and the reason I connected with them was I knew somebody who was on tour with them, you know, it was like one of those, hey, you need to check out my friends, and Rob just, I just would laugh and dance around joyfully at their shows because I love rock music so much, but I don't really play it. And so going to their shows was just like this huge release. And he and I became really close friends. We're still very close friends. And then he kind of did this like mixture of real rock stuff and the kind of singer-songwriter pop stuff. And so this is off one of his solo records from I don't know how long ago, but it's still one of my fave songs of his.
Right on. Here's Watching a Movie.
Eyes floating high above me. I'm just looking down on some guy impersonating me on the ground. I try to tell him, don't you do that, don't you go there, 'cause you'll regret it. What I got, I'm digging.
That was watching a movie by Rob Szabo.
You got it.
You're listening to Let's Play DJ here on CKW 95.9 FM 438 on your drive home. I'm here with Kara Left. Having a grand old time.
We're having a grand time.
Struggling to wrap up our conversation when the song ends. I wanted to ask you, I'm curious, like, what your observations are of just like the music industry, sort of like over time, because, like, you know, you've been a professional musician for a while.
And I'm old.
Well,
I'm kidding. I'm older. I'm saying older.
But I find, like, a lot of folks, like, you know, they'll have like a period of like being really, really active and like really, you know, and then but punctuated by periods of inactivity. And I feel like for you, that's really not the case. You've kind of just like been doing it. And so I'm curious, like, how you found, how has it changed? Like, what's the touring landscape like now versus, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
It's changed. I think maybe the biggest change is my internal change. And partly I blame it in a positive way on my parents. Growing up with folkies who are socialists, who are, you know, folk music really still isn't to this day, but it's not like a fame and riches
totally
trajectory. People, I think, tend to go into that for different reasons. So growing up, music was just something that you did. And I really believe every human being is musical. And so pursuing it as a profession, that's where you kind of have to like balance. I feel like there's that kind of, not balance, there's a dialogue that happens in your brain, because you constantly have to ask yourself, what is my motivation and why am I doing this? So I remember my parents really drilling into me, Kara, you give the same performance for 5 people as you do for 50 people, as you do for 500, as you do for 5,000. So every audience or every situation you find yourself in is kind of a privileged position to be in, and you just never know what's going to happen. And once I also started realizing that, and this really happened, I want to say about 15 years ago, that when I'm on stage, it's actually not about me. It's really about the moment in time and the experience that we are having, whether it's me and whoever I'm with on stage, with the audience. There's an energy exchange that happens. And not trying to sound new agey or weird spiritual, but I really think that you have to remove the ego in order to have a fulfilling experience on stage.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You have to have a healthy enough ego to actually be able to pull it off.
On stage,
to go on there. I think the interesting thing about my musical journey, and it's a good question, because now that I'm turning 50 and I'm like, holy crap, I've been doing this longer than half my life, professionally, and whatever that means, to look at that, I've had moments of quote unquote fame or popularity, and I've had moments of struggle. But the fame wasn't necessarily always better than the, does that make sense?
Yeah, like, totally.
And then looking at it, observing it, and going, well, I'm still doing this because I think it's really important work. I think it's valuable work. I think it has value, maybe not in the way that the industry, quote unquote, sees it. And so I feel more fulfilled now as a musician than I did 10 years ago, than I did 20 years ago, than I did 25 years ago, because I know what I'm doing. I know what my purpose is. I know what my value is. And I love that I've been part of projects that have had some notoriety and have gotten some traction. The Waylon Jennings was a really beautiful, huge learning experience, and we made really beautiful music together, and I got a lot of recognition for that, and it really helped me re-kickstart my solo career, because I had been doing solo stuff before that. And then the Small Glories, I was able to just really realize what it is that I really want to do, and constantly having conversations with my bandmate and my team and saying, this is really about making, kind of trying to make a difference in the world through music. And whether the industry gets behind it or not, be really great if they do, because it means we have a little bit of security financially. And the more people, I mean, I'm sure you're very aware of this, the more recognition you get, unfortunately, that you need that in order to expand your audience base. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to expand my audience base because I just want to share what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in order to get there, I need the recognition, yeah. right? So yeah. you kind of need some awards. You kind of need a little bit of that, yeah. even though I don't really buy into all of that, yeah. but I get it and I understand it. So I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I also think music is really about community.
Yeah.
And we really wouldn't have careers if we didn't have a community. Mm-hmm. And I really want to support my community. My community really supports me. Mm-hmm. And that community is musicians and non-musicians alike. Mm-hmm. And so for these shows, for instance, these 50 for 50 shows, I'm tapping musicians who I've come to admire over the years, or maybe I've just met them, mm-hmm. or what multiple reasons. And same with presenters. It's like, hey, I have this long-standing relationship with this presenter in Vancouver. Would they be open to doing the show? And I'm finding out 95% of them are totally game to yeah. give it a whirl. So
yeah, totally.
Sorry, that's a very long-winded answer well, to really your question. Answer.
That's it gives me hope.
Yeah, like I think that whenever fame and money are the motivator, we're yeah, always going to be disappointed.
Totally.
And so I have come to realize that my motivator is about. I have a gift and it needs to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shared in multiple ways. I teach at these music camps. I get just as much fulfillment teaching at music camps where it's not about me at all. Mm-hmm. It's about helping other people tap into their own creativity mm-hmm. and then finding that sense of belonging and community and creative expression. And that can happen in multiple forms. I'm really actually, I'd really love to get into producing other artists because mm-hmm. I've always kind of co-produced all my records right. and the Small Glories records, but I've just never really given myself that credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really love to kind of explore that avenue as a way of kind of being involved in my music community. And mm-hmm. anyways, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great answer. We're a little short on time.
That's okay.
So we got some songs to pick here.
Woo! I should call up, what is the list?
We got Bernice Johnson Reagan,
yeah.
We got Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott. Oh. We got the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. We probably got time for at least two, if not three.
Let's do Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott.
Cool. Walk Beside Me?
Yeah, here let's do that.
One foot in front of the other, stepping into the here and now. I'm not sure just where I'm going, but I will get there anyhow. I got this far in no direction. I follow my nose to where I stand. My heart's still strong and I know I'll make it and sit right down in the promised land. Sister, come and walk beside me until our pathways do divide. Nothing much but love to give you, even less help I to hide. Now when you left me in the springtime, there's so many questions in my mind. Summer came and it left me waiting, but not one answer could I find. But I saw you out in the Rocky Mountains, I felt you on the Great North Sea. It's a lonesome road that I had to travel, but you will always be with me. Brother, come and walk beside me until our pathways do divide. Love to give you even less help I to hide. feel laughter in the thunder. I feel comfort in the wind, and I see hope in the hopeless faces, and someday they will love again. People coming, walk beside me until our pathways do divide. Nothing much but love to give you. Stepping into the here and now, and I'm not sure just where I'm going, but I will get there anyhow. Back,
will that help? This banjo is really light, doesn't have a strap on it, and I'm sure Uncle Dave could do it, but
oh, they had to follow him with the mic.
Really? Did you get that? Earl said they had to follow Uncle Dave with the mic.
They had to follow Uncle Dave with the mic. Yeah, he'd get up and dance and play with the banjo at the same time.
Did he ever play Soldier's Joy?
I'm sure he did. I don't know.
Uncle Dave, if you're in there. Soldier's Joy, take one.
They're pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they were new. That was a new one.
First time it's been
mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't been to the other box.
I will call ourselves the plein air string.
Boy, ain't it a job to string one of them.
I tried that one time and I blistered my hand.
I think they're just rambling, so I think we can fade this
Let's
out.
Let's fade it out.
That was Soldier's Joy by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and before that you heard Walk Beside Me by Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott, and you're listening to the last few moments of Let's Play DJ here on CKEW, and I'm here with Kara Left. We've had a lovely hour together.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Jacob, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's plug some stuff.
Plugging.
That's why we're here. So let's...
that really why we're here? No.
No, it's honestly not, yeah. it's for the chats. But... on paper, you know, musicians.
Yes.
Go on the radio to promote.
I just was like, oh, I get to go in and chat with somebody new. This is great. We're going to have fun.
So you've got this 50 for 50 tour going all year.
Yeah.
If folks want to follow it and hear
totally.
Your stuff. And
they can find me on all the socials.
All
of
the
course.
Socials.
Well, I shouldn't say all the socials. I've limited it to Instagram and Facebook, which, whatever, who knows, see how that goes. I wake up in the morning and I just kind of dread.
Yeah.
I dread it.
I think that's reasonable. I think most of us do.
I'm actually trying to direct more people to my website because I want that to be a little bit more of a community hub.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So caroleft.com, you can find all sorts of information there. And then things are just slowly starting to get added in there. I'm going to be in Europe. I mentioned I'm going to be in England for all of June and a little bit of July. So if people know folks over there,
mm-hmm.
I teach at music camps this summer,
nice.
Which is great. And a few gigs and festivals. And in the fall, I'll be back out on the road doing more of these 50 for 50 things. And there will be a couple Winnipeg dates.
That was my next
and
question.
One of the big Winnipeg dates is going to be at the Times. And depending on weather, it'll probably be early fall, late summer, early fall, might be at Blue Note Park. And it's going to be an 80s sing-along with Ego Spank and
oh,
me.
Oh, amazing.
we're gonna work up a whole, it's part of my birthday celebration.
Amazing.
80s sing-along, so.
That'll be great.
And then it'll be some other things happening in Winnipeg with different, I think Ella and I are going to do a little banjo show together. Steve Bell, wonderful musician here in town. He's a dear friend. We're going to do something together. I might have a block party where I live because there are some other musicians who live in my neighborhood.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to have like a neighborhood musician night. But all that stuff will be on socials and on my website.
Great. So. Wow. You got so many plans.
I really, it's so funny. You know, people who are married and they have one of the spouses is super organized and like organizes everything. And I'm like, I need a work spouse who will just organize my life and my plan. I have a manager who helps with that, but I need somebody.
You need
more.
An admin.
I need like a personal life admin and work admin person. It doesn't pay very much, Jacob, though. So.
Well, if you're interested, you can head out to caroleft.com.
If you're interested.
Yeah, taking applications now. Let's Play DJ airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m., although we've only got a couple shows left before I disappear for the summer. So thanks. As always, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Instagram at Let's Play DJ Radio, and I'm on Instagram at Jacob Radofsky, and you can head to ckuw.ca for all tons of information about all the excellent programming that this volunteer-run station provides. Kara, I didn't warn you, but we usually end with one of your songs.
Okay.
Do you want to pick one?
Okay.
And then I'm going to frantically type it in.
Okay, do Only Love Can Save Me. Let's try that one. I love that. I love... Let's frantically type it in.
I got it. Only Love Can Save Me. Kara, thanks again. This was such a treat.
Jacob.
Great to meet you. And here's Only Love Can Save Me by Kara Left. Have a great weekend, folks.
Darkness, why do you surround me? I've asked the light to come and find me. Tell the devil it's time to